The theme of peace requires so much time to really unpack. And in a few moments this morning, I won't be able to say everything that could be said about peace. But in another sense, Scripture here is so clear and so simple that not much needs to be said. It's so simple to understand what Paul's saying here, but it's so difficult to believe. And the reason it's so difficult to believe is because we have an enemy that has put wind in our face as we are pursuing our heavenly home. And the way in which he has done it is to create in us deep anxiety. Anxiety is something that dims the light of Christ in us so profoundly that many Christians don't look any different from the world when it comes to things that might make us anxious. And we should. We should look radically different from the world. And it's when we do, in moments where we can have great anxiety, that the world notices. How come you're not freaking out? How come you're not so upset? How can you be at peace? And then we don't give glory to ourselves, but to our God. So in a few moments this morning, I really want to help you, but I can't. Only the Spirit of God can. Do you believe him? Do you believe what he's saying? We're going to sing in about 7 minutes, "It Is Well With My Soul." Some of you are going to sing that and believe it, maybe for the first time ever. Some of you for the first time in a long time. And some of you are going to sing it as a prayer. Not sure it's really true, but you're going to sing it because you should. So let's unpack what Paul's saying here in a few moments. Every one of us has something this very day that we're anxious about. And actually, it's probably a pretty long list. And it's things that concern our hearts and minds. But we must peel back and ask the question, why do we ever become anxious? And there are many reasons, but I'm going to give you two. The first one has to do, I believe, with a God-given desire for safety and security. We were made to be in a secure place. And if we are in Christ, one day we will truly be in that place, seeing his face, where we will not be tempted towards anxiety any longer. Because there will be no more tears, no more fears, no more thirst, no more hunger. We'll be in his presence, safe and secure. In a way, it's the same way it was with our first parents, Adam and Eve. There was a moment in their life that lasted for some time where they knew no anxiety. They knew no fear. They knew no need. They were with their father. But as soon as they ate of the tree, their eyes were open. They realized they were naked. And fear and shame and guilt and anxiety and a lack of peace consumed them. And ever since paradise was lost, people with the inherent reality of sin in their life, we've been clinging to and hoping for another's security. And so the reason we're anxious so often is that we really are seeking to be safe and secure. But it's what we put our safety and security in that brings the anxiety. Think about it for a moment. We spend our days toiling and clinging to things that we think are going to make us secure. These are usually good things, like relationships, a wife, a husband, children. It's a career, a way of making money to provide presently, but also for the future. It's a reputation. You want to be known, even in a good sense, as a person who has virtue and godliness. It is an inheritance that you will receive or inheritance that you will leave behind. There are so many things that we put our security in. And we begin to feel anxiety when we recognize the limits that we have in protecting that thing which we have put our security in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our desire for security and safety is good. But everything except Christ, anything other than Christ that we seek to put our security in, is going to die, is going to rot, is going to fade. has no promise of eternity. Everything except Jesus. And what happens is when we put our security in those things, which are often very good, and the wind begins to blow, or the foundation begins to shift, we then have the temptation to keep it from falling, to keep it from collapsing. We don't want it to go away. And then we realize deep in our soul that we have such limits. Take a child. How much control do you really have with how your child turns out? Really? Some of you right now, I know we're praying quietly, don't let my daughter be like Michelle. Let her have a burden for Plano. It's outside our zip code, but that's... You see, we have created such things that we believe will make us secure. And when we sense that it might not be like we thought it would be, the income that we've made and the interest that's been made on investments might not be what we thought, it might be much worse, suddenly the limits of what we're able to do confronts us. And as it confronts us, there's an interior battle that takes place that we call anxiety. And the reason it's anxiety is because we're putting our security in insecure things. And people are insecure things. Careers are insecure things. Reputations are insecure things. Ministries are insecure things. There's only one thing that is secure, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Anything else that you put your security in is going to die. It's going to rot. It's going to fail. It's going to diminish, but not Jesus. He can't. And so the call that Paul's giving us about prayer and about anxiety is this. Don't be anxious about anything. I know people who say, when I ask them, what are you anxious about? I'm anxious about anything and everything. Like, those are two good biblical words. Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything. What is anything? See, it's real simple, isn't it? It's everything. And so Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Interestingly, God already knows, but it's the act of making our supplication, our petition known to God. Why? Because he's good. This is important. One phrase that Paul put here that I think is so profound and clearly evidence that he was carried along by the Holy Spirit is he says, don't just make your petitions and supplication, but do so with thanksgiving. Why? Very quickly. Thanksgiving. When we slow down to give thanks, well, it slows us down. When we are tempted towards losing that which we're controlling or hanging on to, and it seems like it's going away, Paul's saying pray. Simply pray. Pray and offer your petition, offer your supplication, but do so with thanksgiving. Why? Thanksgiving slows us down. Two, thanksgiving makes us remember who God is. And as your desire for security and the temptation to put it in insecure things is confronted by your limits to keep it secure, what happens in thanksgiving is that you remember who God is. Who are we? We're limited people, limited in knowledge, limited in insight, limited in presence, limited in power, limited in our ability to control, limited in our ability to predict. But who is God? No limits. His presence isn't limited. His power isn't limited. His knowledge isn't limited. His love isn't limited. You think you love your children? Your love is still limited. It is. I'm sorry, it is. But God's is not. You think you're a great manager? You think you're a great leader? You're limited. But God is not. And so in thanksgiving, we slow down and remember who he is. He has no limits. Hallelujah. So give thanks. But for what? Who he is again. what he's done, what he promises to do, where he promises to be, but also for this. Thank him for the trial that you're in, which is a temptation not to trust him. Because in the trial, we are made mature and complete, not lacking anything. And he gives us that gift. I'm going to close with this illustration. Paul's saying so much. He's saying it so simply. It really comes down to what Cameron Colwell wrote in the anthem that was sung. Let me read again. Turn to page 3, if you would, very quickly. This struck me as I heard the choir sing it and then repeat it. I'm going to go to the fourth paragraph in the second or third sentence. It begins with Jesus. Jesus, you are majesty in power. Again, no limits to his power. Come into my life and change me. Well, once and for all, he does that in a salvific way. If you are a believer in Jesus, you've been saved, and that's once forever. If you're not a believer yet, maybe today will be the day you profess faith in Christ. He comes in and changes us. But he continues to change us on this journey to heaven. We should expect to be changed today because of what we're hearing and what we're seeing and what we're feeling and thinking. So this is the prayer. Jesus, you are majesty and power. Come into my life and change me, I pray, Jesus. You are righteous and perfect. I hope in the Father. I trust and obey. You see, the reason we put our security in insecure things, though they're good, is that we fear God's goodness. We fear that he might not be good. Many of you have experienced what would be called a trust fall. It's where someone stands on a ledge high, and then a group of people stand behind them to catch. There's nothing to hold on to. You simply fall backwards, trusting that the people who have their arms present are able and capable and willing to catch you. When I was a young father with only one child, a young daughter, she was around 1.5 or 2, I would put her on a ledge near our swimming pool in St. Louis, and I would say, Kara, fall. And she would just lunge backwards, no fear, and into my arms. She loved doing it over and over again. 7 or 8 years later, we're now in Dallas. She's now 7 or 8. She's experienced some pain. She has a little bit of knowledge of what the world looks like. And at a park here, not too far from the church, I put her on a ledge. She was 8 probably at the time. And as I said to her, Kara, let's do a trust fall. She said, I don't know, Daddy, this is really high. I said, I know, but I'll catch you. But she didn't trust me. Why? Well, something had happened in that 8 years. One, I'd had back surgery. She knew that I might not be able to catch her. 2, she had experienced some pain. She knew that falling hurts, and this was quite high. And I've shared this illustration before, but it's so important. There was something else different. The ledge that she was standing on in St. Louis offered nothing for her to hold on to. But this ledge at this park here in Dallas had a crossbar. And so as she's staring at the crossbar, listening to her daddy say, fall into my arms, that crossbar looked more secure than simply letting go and trusting that her dad would catch her, that he could catch her, that he was willing to catch her. Well, this is what I'm trying to say today, and this is what Paul's saying. When we're anxious, it's because we're putting our trust in the crossbar, not the cross. We're looking at something that we believe is going to make us secure. And as it shakes and looks insecure, we want to hold on all the tighter. And what the Lord is saying is, let go. Stop gripping those things which cannot last, which will not be eternally secure. And fall into my arms, resting here. Trust me. And so, when we seek to control things, we are not trusting the Lord. In a laughable way, we say things like, I'm a control freak, almost as if it's a virtue. Let me help you. Stop saying you're a control freak and call yourself something else a little more derogatory. You're a control moron. You're a control idiot. Or maybe this one. I'm a control crazy person. Because crazy means out of balance, foolish, a lot of different things. Brothers and sisters, there's one insecure thing, and it's a person. And his name is Jesus. And he is our Prince of Peace. And because of that, we need to repeat this verse over and over, day after day, giving him thanks for who he is, what he has done, what he has said he will do, where he is in us. If anxiety is consuming you, it's because you are afraid of losing something that you are clinging to. Ask yourself this question in the midst of the anxiety. What's the worst thing that could happen? I doubt you'll give the real answer. The worst thing that could happen is that God would not be in control. And guess what? That cannot happen. And because of that, we can sing loudly with deep belief, or at least deep petition. It is well and will be forever with my soul.